This is Dr. Max Schultz, pastor of the Heritage Baptist Bible Church in Walnut Grove, Minnesota. It is our privilege to be with you now for this half hour, and we hope that you have your Bibles out and you're ready to follow along, because that's the only way that we learn the Word of God is to give it out and you take it in. We'll be back in just a moment. It is so good to be with you again this Sunday morning, as it is each Sunday morning at the same time, and we count it our privilege to come into your homes and to spend this time with you. If you have your Bibles now, will you please turn with me to John chapter 21. We're going again to take the second time and say a few words about the following verses found in John chapter 21, and in verse 18 we'll begin. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whether thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. And this he spake, signifying by what death he, that's Peter, should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. He had taught Peter a tremendous lesson, addressed him after the resurrection, and then gave him three opportunities in order to confess him, as Peter had denied him three times. And then he told Peter how he was going to die. They're going to stretch forth your hands, Peter, and indicating, as many believe, that he would die by crucifixion. We find out by tradition that he was crucified upside down, stating he was not worthy to be crucified in the same manner as his Lord. And then we come on down to verse 20, and Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loveth, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Then Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Here Peter, another tremendous lesson, began to have his eyes on somebody else and get interested in somebody else's business, and yet he had enough to do in order to tend to his own. In verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow me. That is the key that we would like to amplify again on this Sunday morning. Now let's look in verse 23. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that the disciple should not die. And Jesus did not say unto him, He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? You know, and the lesson I think that Christians need to learn is this, very simply. If we'll concentrate our efforts on serving the Lord Jesus Christ, we would keep ourselves out of a lot of trouble, out of a lot of people's business, and have more time to tend to the Lord's business. Now, I think, first of all, that I would like to draw your attention to the fact what our responsibility is as a Christian. What we ought to do in order to be faithful in the Lord's service and not get sidetracked into somebody else's business, somebody else's complaints, somebody else's fights that they have or arguments that they have or something else. What is the church for, and what is my purpose for being there? How should I conduct myself? How can I guard myself against getting sidetracked by some disgruntled person or something within the church? Let me remind you, if I may. First of all, the Lord Jesus had told Peter, he said, Peter, follow me. I want to read first again here in verse 22. And Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow me. Now, that's what I'd like to speak about this morning. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, I think if we'll concentrate our efforts as a Christian in our local church into being the best Christian we can in following the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to have time to be a busybody in everybody else's matters. You're not going to have time at all to get interested in other people's business. First of all, turn in your Bibles now, if you will, with me, and let us go over here to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, the Word of God tells us this for the Christian. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. First of all, our business is, as God says, we are to study the Word of God. You know, I suppose if you would add all the Christians up, you wouldn't get 5 minutes a day And if you average them now, put them in and divide them and average the time they spend reading the Bible, you wouldn't get 5 minutes a day that the average Christian spends reading the Word of God. And yet, if we assume our responsibility, now what we're speaking about is doing our responsibility as a Christian and not having time to be meddling in everybody else's business, not having time to getting concerned about other matters that are actually none of our concern, not having time to spend time on the telephone and listening to somebody who's disgruntled, gripe and complain about the church, about the pastor, about the deacons, about the Sunday school. And yet, we have enough to do in our Christian life, and Christians make this mistake, they get involved in everything else except the things they ought to get involved in to prepare themselves spiritually and also to prepare themselves to follow the Lord and to put Him first and to serve Him. If we do that, you don't have time, folks, to get involved in anybody else's business. If you're spending time to help people that truly need help, not spend time with busybodies, not spend time with gripers and complainers, then the Lord says this, first of all, for the Christian, if we'll take time and study the Bible, and the Bible tells us here, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Then shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Now with that, when you study the Bible here, let me show you what it will produce. Now, let's go over here, if you will, into 2 Peter chapter 1, if you will. 2 Peter chapter 1, and let's begin to look here in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge. Now, when you study the Bible, you get the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it will affect your life. It will affect your thinking. It will affect your attitude. It will affect where you put your desires for the Lord, and it will motivate you to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Jesus told Peter, follow thou me. Follow me. Now let's look in verses 5 to 8 here and see what this is going to do. When you put into practice, study to show thyself approved unto God. He said, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. When you get knowledge, you're going to add virtue to your faith. Now let's go on down into verses 6 and 7 and 8 here and begin to find out what else is produced when you study the Word of God. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he goes on in verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. How do you get these things? It begins with a study of the Bible. The first thing, if you're listening this morning and you're a Christian, maybe you go to another church and you're a Christian, you attend a good Bible-believing church, here's the first thing in your Christian life so you don't get sidetracked with somebody disgruntled in the church. You study to show yourself approved. It will produce this fruit. You will not be unbarren. And if you spend an hour a day studying the Bible, I'm going to tell you it's going to eliminate a lot of time you're going to have to spend to meddle in somebody else's business. Or to get feeling sorry for yourself because maybe you didn't get a solo in one of the cantatas. Or feel sorry for yourself because maybe you didn't get elected to the deacon or the trustee board. Or maybe, you know, there was a Sunday school teacher's opening, but you didn't get it. Let me point something out, if I may, that I think people, the congregation sometimes, I think they fail to realize. You know, the pastor of a church wants to use everybody that he can use in the Lord's service. The reason that a lot of people are not used is because they are not faithful. They do not study their Bible. They are involved in other people's business. They are unfaithful to the church services. They have a bad attitude. And no pastor is going to put a person in a position of leadership in the church when their own spiritual life is so low that they cannot control themselves and have the right mental attitude to be faithful, to put the Lord first, and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord told Peter to do. He said, Peter, what in the world is that to thee? Get your mind off of John. Forget about John. I'm telling you, follow me. And that's a tremendous lesson for Christians today. Number one, if we spend and discipline our lives to study the Word of God, you're not going to have time to be on the telephone and jabbering and gibbering and one thing or another, or busybody about this or talking about that. You're going to have your mind geared, and you're going to have it fed with the right kind of food that's going to produce. It's going to produce fruit. You're not going to be barren. Number two, turn with me, if you will, now to 1 Thessalonians, and let's go here to chapter 5, verse 17. Another thing for the Christian to do that is going to take your time and produce fruit and not give you time in order to get involved in everybody else's business in the church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and let's notice here in verse 17. The Word of God says here, a very simple verse with only three words. It says, pray without ceasing. Christian, if you're listening this morning, how much of your time is spent praying for the things that you need and praying to God in thanksgiving, praying to God for your church, praying to God for other people, and communicating with the Lord? You see, if you spend time and take this kind of time in order to have this kind of relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll guarantee you, you will not have time to be a busybody in a church and tend to have an interest in everybody else's business except the Lord's. And the more that you're interested in everybody else's business, you're going to begin to find out you're not going to be praying. You're not going to be studying your Bible. But when you discipline yourself to feed yourself on the spiritual things that's going to produce fruit, you're going to find out you don't have time to listen to somebody call you on the phone and buzz, buzz, buzz. Did you hear this? Did you hear that? And one thing or another. You're going to be busy because you're following the Lord Jesus Christ. You're preparing yourself in order to do the job. You're studying the Word of God. You're getting fed and convicted by the Word of God. You're praying to God and you're communicating to Him. And you're not going to have time for very much else, especially to spend time with disgruntled people who are not interested in serving the Lord. They're only interested in using you as a tool in their hands to promote their cause and not to win souls to Christ. Now, you find out it says here, pray without ceasing. Turn with me now, if you will, and let us go over to the book of James now, if you will, chapter 5, verse 16, where we have another message here on prayer. James chapter 5, verse 16 says this, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That we ought to pray for one another, especially those that are afflicted or sick. Now, another thing, turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. And we'll wait a minute while you turn in your Bibles over there. Matthew chapter 4, and notice here in verse 19. Now the Lord said here, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Not fishers of troublemaking, not fishers of busybodies, not fishers of every involved in everybody else's business, but fishers of men means I will make you a soul winner. I will make you so that you can witness to other people and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you come to church on Sunday morning, you're looking for the person that you invited because you've spent time trying to win people to Christ during the week. And let me say this, if I may. You know, church, the church building and the church assembly is to glorify God. As a member of the congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ and a local assembly, folks, if you don't teach a Sunday school class, if you're not in the choir, and you do not hold an office in the church, let me tell you what you can do that's going to help your church, help your pastor, be a glory to God, and encourage other people. Whatever you do, come to church with a right attitude. Don't come to church and walk in the door with a long face hanging clear down to the floor and you're just waiting for somebody to cheer you up. Come there and try to be a leader and try to have the right attitude where you cheer somebody up. Look for somebody new that Sunday morning. Go up and shake their hand. And let me say something else, if I may. Deacons and trustees and members of the church, remember this. Your pastor is going to preach and teach. We do this three times. We teach a Sunday school lesson, we teach a message at church, and we preach on Sunday night. Do you know something? Here is having the right spiritual attitude for a member of the congregation. I've been in churches and been pastoring churches, and you know, been in there and come in the back door, you know, the church there, to come in and walk up on the podium, or to be in the church somewhere. And I don't think anything's more distracting to a pastor than have people run up, even a deacon, run up and, "Pastor, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it?" You know what? A deacon, a trustee, and a member of a local assembly ought to have their lives in the spiritual frame of mind that they guard the pastor and do not bring him troubles on Sunday morning. I don't think anything's more disgusting when your mind is on the message you're going to preach and somebody coming up to you and having all kind of little piddly-diddly problems that they should be taking care of themselves, and we don't have our minds in the right frame of mind. We don't have them spiritually the way they ought to be. And you know what? When we come to church, we ought to look out for other people. We ought to come with the right mental attitude. What can I do to help the pastor? What can I do to help a Sunday school teacher? What can I do to shake somebody's hand and show them I'm glad, just thrilled to death they're there on Sunday morning? Folks, if you want to have happiness in your Christian life, then you've got to read the Bible, you've got to pray to the Lord, and the Lord said, "I'll make you a fisher of men." You'll come to church with the right mental attitude, and you'll enjoy going to church on Sunday morning. I pastored a church, and I'll never forget one of the deacons, and he's no longer around anymore, but one of the deacons, you could almost count on it once a month. The minute you'd walk in the door, this guy was so far out of it. He would say, "Pastor, well, I didn't like what you done. We're going to have a deacon's meeting over there." And then you were to try to preach, and this guy had done this so long, evidently, I found out from other pastors, this guy had done this so long that it was almost, he was there to see if he could get the pastor upset before he preached. Now, folks, that's the wrong attitude. You and I, when we come to church, I'll tell you this, my mind is on preaching the Word of God so the power can go out, people can get convicted, and people can get saved and convicted to serve the Lord. And you know what? You as a member of the congregation, every Christian, when you step inside the church door on Sunday morning, ought to have your minds and your attitude and your spiritual life to the point to where you want to do something constructive. You want to help somebody that Sunday morning. And when you're in that kind of a spiritual frame of mind, then the Lord, you're ready to receive the Word of God as it comes from the Bible, and you're going to enjoy it. You're going to be convicted. You're going to have happiness in your life. And let me say this, you're not going to have time to get involved in anybody else's business, friend, except your own and the Lord's. The Lord told Peter, he said, "Peter, what in the world is that to you, what I do with that person? Please follow me." And that's a lesson that every Christian needs to learn. Now, let's go on down, and I'd like for you to turn your Bible, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 5 with me, if you will. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and notice here, if you will, as we go over here and look here in verses 16 and 17, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. The Bible says, "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Now, what is the will of the Lord for you in the local assembly? What is the will of the Lord for you concerning Him? And we found that here in Matthew chapter 4. The Lord said, "If you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. You're going to have fruit." And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and verses 5 to 8, he says, "If you'll study the Word of God, grace and peace come by knowledge, knowledge as to virtue, temperance, patience." And these things Christians need to work on in their Christian life. And when they study the Word of God, and when they pray, and when they're reading the Bible, and they're doing these things for their own Christian maturity, folks, there's not time to get involved in other things and get disgruntled in the church. We've got enough 100% full-time job to conduct and take care of our own spiritual lives and our own spiritual attitude without getting involved in somebody else's business. Now look here, if you will, because I want to read this, because I think this is the capstone. If you think it's not enough business to take an hour out of the day to read the Bible, an hour out of the day to pray, which very few Christians ever do, and then to get involved, if you're a Sunday school teacher, to the time you prepare your lesson on Sunday morning to get prayed up so when you come into church you can be a blessing to the pastor, you don't feel a dark cloud hanging over the church because you're out of fellowship, you're looking for new people to come, you've invited new people, you're a fisher of men, you're following the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have time to be around people that are not serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's notice here, if you will, in verse 24, and that of Ephesians chapter 4 now, if you will. "And be renewed, and that you put on the new man, which is after God, created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak evil every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Let him work, labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, folks, if we can incorporate these things in our Christian life, work on the bitterness, work on the anger, work on the clamor, work on the evil speaking and put away from you all malice. Work on being kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. I'll guarantee you, you'll never have time to get involved in anybody else's business and concerned about their manners when they're not spiritually minded. And as Christ told Peter, what in the world is that to thee, Peter? Follow me. Folks, if you're listening this morning and you want to have happiness in your Christian life, study the Word of God, pray to the Lord, and study here and discipline yourself with these things found in Ephesians chapter 4, realizing in Ephesians chapter 5 here that redeeming the time because the days are evil, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and the will of the Lord for your life is to follow Christ, to put Him first, and don't you let anybody get you sidetracked from that. And when you prepare yourself with the Bible reading, Bible prayer, and your attendance to church, and working on the things by the conviction of the Holy Spirit that's going to give you the spiritual mind, keep your body in contact here and produce the fruit spoken of, the bitterness, get away from it, be kind, tender-hearted one to another. You don't have time to be around disgruntled people that are trying to wreck churches. If you want happiness, incorporate these things, and I'll guarantee you, you'll be redeeming the time, following the Lord Jesus Christ, and He'll make you a fisher of men. If you're not, you are a very unhappy Christian. I pray that you'll realize these things. Let people that are filled with hatred, let people that are disgruntled, let people that are always complaining no matter what, get rid of them, let them off to themselves, and you find the happiness in your life by disciplining yourself and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. That's the lesson for you and I this morning. I hope you'll listen to it so you can have the fruit in your life the way Jesus Christ wants you to have it. Well, I see our time's gone, and we've enjoyed so much to be with you this Sunday morning. We pray that you'll take a minute and drop us a line. Let us know that you're listening. We're always happy to hear from you if you have a question on the Bible or whatever, or a prayer request. If you'll write us, we'll sure be happy to get it and receive it and answer you. If you're listening today and you do not know that you have eternal life, you're not absolutely sure that you're going to heaven when you die, then here's how simple that it is. God has concluded we all have sinned, that you and I. God has also said that He loves the sinner. And we find out in Romans 5:8, God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then in John 3:16, God loved the world. He loves you. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would never perish, but have everlasting life. If you realize you're a sinner and Christ is a wonderful Savior, and He died on that cross to save you from spending eternity in hell so you could have a home in heaven with Him, He bought your right to live with Him for all time and eternity. All He asked you to do is believe the record God gave of His Son, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Well, we hope that you'll take time to write us. We'd love to hear from you. If you're in the area of Walnut Grove, we'd love to have you come to church. Our morning worship service begins at 10, from 10 to 11. Love to invite you to our services. Our mailing address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Until next week at the same time, may the Lord richly bless you as we ever pray, even so come, Lord Jesus.